Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you to our studies today. Thank you for studying God's Word, brothers and sisters. There's nothing more important than the Lord Jesus Christ's return and Him coming back. That's the issue today, is we're waiting on the Lord, and we are to be studying His Word. The Bible says that we're to be reading and studying doctrine and finding out what God's Word says, and that's what we're doing. We're in the study right now of judgment and judging, which is our third lesson in the letter J, and we've been through about 25 lessons in this study so far, and there's quite a bit that we've seen. Let me ask you something. Do you still think the same way about judgment and judging as you did before we started this lesson? Has the Lord's Word shown you a little bit about the Lord's mind concerning the issue of judgment and judging? Is the world right about their perspective about judgment and judging? No, they're not. They don't have any idea what real judgment and judging is when it comes to truth. Now, today we're going to get into some final thoughts about judgment and judging. And we have been over so much, and today we're going to talk about some final thoughts. The first thing that we're going to talk about is that how judgment and judging is described in the Scriptures. I mean, just to boil it all down and just sum it all up, how does the Scriptures describe judgment and judging? If you just narrowed it down and put it into and just put it there where everybody could see it, What's the first thing that the Scriptures describe when it comes to judgment and judging? Well, there's three different things that we see in the Scriptures that are brought up when it comes to judgment and judging. The first thing is, it's described as a day of wrath. A day of wrath. Now, that's not something that the world or anybody else thinks about when it comes to judgment and judging. They wouldn't pick that in a million years and say, well, if you ask somebody and says, well, when it comes to judgment and judging, what's the first thing that God would say or that the Bible would say? Well, I suppose that the majority of the folks, if you've done a survey that didn't know the Lord or didn't care about Him or ignorant of the Scriptures, would say, well, God would say, don't judge anybody. That we're not supposed to be judging anybody. And that would be the direction that conversation would go in. But when you look into the Scriptures and you find descriptions of what judgment and judging are described as, one of them is a day of wrath. God tells you that when it comes to judging, there's coming a day that you need to be concerned about God's wrath when it comes to judgment and judging. Now, that's a pretty important matter right there, that God is not only angry in His judgment and judging, but He's wrathful. That's one way that the Scriptures describe as a final thought of judgment and judging. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 5, but after thy hardness and unrepentant, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. That's coming. That's coming. And judgment and judging, I suppose that's one reason that the world does not seek after what God thinks about judgment and judging, and that they stick to their little fairy tale and that you're not supposed to judge anybody. are not supposed to judge anything. We've already seen all that nonsense being thrown down by the scriptures. But when it comes to describing judgment and judging, one of the things that the scriptures describe it as is a day of wrath. A day of wrath. The second thing, or another thing that the scriptures describe, is a day of judgment. It's not only a day of wrath, but it is a day of judgment. The world says, don't judge, and we're not to judge. And this word judgment is just so messed up in the world that they have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. This day, it's the final thoughts and judgment and judging is described as a day of judgment. God doesn't say everything's going to be good. Don't worry about it. God doesn't judge. I'm just waiting for you to get up here so I can give you a big hug and a big kiss and just tell you how much I love you, love you, love you, love you. That's not what judgment and judging is described as in the scriptures. A day of wrath is one thing, and a day of judgment is another. Again, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, the scripture says, for this they willingly are ignorant of. That's, I heard a fellow say, stupid on purpose. For this they are willingly, they willingly are ignorant of. Was that? That by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Well, let's just go ahead and read the rest of it here so it can be better understood. A day of judgment is a description, according to the scriptures, of what judgment and judging is when you describe it. 2 Peter chapter 3, 7 I just read, but let me back up here and read this. Verse 3, 5 says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. And then verse 6 says, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now you can imagine, being back in Noah's day, and Noah telling everybody, man, you better get right with God. He's fixing to destroy this place. And you can imagine what the world thought of all that, and calling it nonsense, and about judgment and judging in that day. But it came, and it killed everybody. When them rains came, they kept on coming and kept on coming, and that water was rising and rising, and everybody was looking for higher ground. Ended up being that the whole population of the earth was judged and killed, except the ones that listened. And that's the same situation today. I'll bet back in them days that those people were walking around and saying, no, and now don't judge. You ain't supposed to judge people. You know, judgment and judging. You know what God, that God is a God of love, and He wouldn't hurt a fly. The Bible says, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now listen to the next verse. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, God's word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. It don't sound like this crowd today is in any better predicament when it comes to judgment and judging. I don't read anywhere in them verses where God says a description of His judgment and judging is that He wants to give everybody a warm fuzzy and huggy huggy and kissy kissy and just can't wait to have you around and just forgive you of everything and all that sort of business. I don't read it. I read that the heavens and earth that are today, the scripture says, the same word that destroyed the world with a flood is keeping this world and the heavens that are right now in store reserved. Reserved for what? Reserved for fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God's going to destroy it again. And it's coming. And it's coming by fire this time rather than water. You're going to burn. And the Lord's going to destroy and burn this earth. And completely get rid of it. Now, that don't sound a whole lot like what the world's description of this judgment and judging is. And your televisions that tell you that you ain't supposed to judge, and well, you know, this and that and the other, and we don't care if he slaughtered 10 people with a hatchet and everything else, you ought to forgive. And let not punish him, put him on probation, let him run around. And all that sort of business. Judgment and judging is not described in the world and with the ungodly as it is in the scriptures. Not only that, judgment and judging as a description in the scriptures is not only a day of wrath and a day of judgment, but it's also called the judgment seat of Christ. That is a description of judgment and judging from the scriptures, the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, the scripture says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, that's not talking about hell bound or heaven bound or which way you go, and it's not anything to do with that. It has to do with the judgment of the children of God, like we talked about before. And all of your good and your bad, you say, well, God loves me. Yes, he does. And God's not going to condemn me. No, he's not. But the terror of the Lord, even for Christians, when you stand before the living God that you've never seen before, and you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that died for you, that you've been living by faith, not by sight, and finally you stand before him and you behold him, you think you're going to be have that same attitude about judgment and judging as you have right now as you go along with the worldly beliefs and stuff like that? No, you're not. One description of judgment and judging in the scriptures is the judgment seat of Christ. That it's going to be a pretty serious event about what you did in the body for Christ. And all these Christians running around here saying all this stupid stuff and things that have absolutely nothing to do with God's Word and messing with God's Word and changing God's Word are going to account for it. They're going to give account for it. And people are not worried about standing before the Lord. Christians ought to fear the Lord enough to know if anybody on this planet ought to be fearing the Lord, it ought to be Christians. If you call yourself a Christian, then you ought to be scared of God. Then you ought to know that Daddy gives people whoopings and that Daddy ain't playing no more and that Daddy's not playing around with these ungodly people that keep mocking him and messing up his creation and all this sorts of business and persecuting his children and the people that love him. The Bible says God knows who loves him. And if you're a Christian and you say that you love him, you should be on the side that you're supposed to be on. And you should be fighting for that side. And you should be doing the things that are pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Because one description out of three concerning judgment and judging as a description in the scriptures is the judgment seat of Christ. You say, well, what? Somebody walks up and says, well, what does the Bible, how does the Bible describe judgment and judging? Well, here it is. The Bible describes it as a day of wrath. The Bible describes it as a day of judgment. And the Bible describes it as a day of judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. That covers about everybody. We know that the righteous are not going to be condemned, but when you sit there and watch some of the works that you did in your body after you were saved and you did it as a Christian, you're going to be ashamed of it. And it's going to burn, and it's going to not... I mean, everything that you stand, when you stand before the Lord, everything that the Lord sees, you want it to glorify Him. When you see the Lord and behold Him, you're going to want to glorify Him and give Him praise. And when your works show up on the billboard, there's going to be some faces turn. And me too. But that doesn't mean it has to be from here on. If you know better, you ought to do better. Because the scriptures describe judgment and judging as the judgment seat of Christ. Now, moving along. What else? Talking about final thoughts of judgment and judging. What about the time of judgment and judging? We talked about that a little bit on our last lessons. Well, the time of judgment and judging, according to the scriptures, is after one's death. After one's death. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 20, it says, "And as it is appointed," you have an appointment, "as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." After one's death, the scriptures describe judgment and judging and the time of it as after one's death. There's people that take advantage of life and walk on real thin ice when it comes to life and death. Because if they really knew what was going to be on the other side of death for them, it would scare them to death, and they would do something about it. But this world is not scared of God yet. What else? The time of judgment and judging is at Christ's return. The scriptures say in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31 and 32, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep and the goats." The time of it is Christ's return. What else? On an appointed day. Everybody says, well, where is the time of His coming? Where is God? Well, the Bible says there's a day coming. There is an appointed day. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 31, "Because He hath appointed a day into which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised Him from the dead." Christ is going to judge the world, and He's going to judge it in righteousness. It ain't gonna be any of this judgment that's in our courtrooms today, and this hogwash and 10 years worth of appealing, and you choke somebody's baby and took an infant and grabbed him by the heels and bashed his head up against a dumpster, and you get live in prison for 20 and 30 years before you get judged about it, and then you get probation. It ain't going to be any of that kind of stuff. The time of the judgment is after one's death. Judgment and judging is what we're talking about. And we're talking about some final thoughts. The time is very important when it comes to judgment and judging. People nowadays are trying to put time completely out of the realm of judging. You're not supposed to judge, ever. Well, that's not what the scripture says. The Bible says that a Christian judgeth all things. After one's death, at Christ's return, on an appointed day. And another one, after the world's destruction. That's a time of judgment and judging. after the world's destruction. Listen to what the scriptures say in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 through 14. I remind you, I'm reading you the scriptures. And you know that. And you trust in them. And we don't have any arguments about what God's word says. We just read it and accept it for what it says. Listen to this. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. This world is in a critical state because there is a God, a supernatural God, that has the power to do anything he wants to, is coming after this earth and coming after these heavens. And in these heavens and earth have already been sentenced, and they're going to be destroyed, and they're just held and reserved right now until the day. The Bible says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. That's how come this earth and heavens haven't dissolved, like Peter said, yet. Slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What does the world need to do? Come to repentance. Not pride and not saying, where is the God of your coming? I don't see no God. And you shouldn't judge. And you can't say that. That ain't what the Bible says. The Lord says he's being very patient and long-suffering, waiting on you to come to the Lord, sinner. But the day is coming. Judgment's coming. And after the world's destruction, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. I don't misunderstand that one bit, do you? Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, that ain't remaking the earth. To dissolve something is not to remake it. It's to dissolve it. Be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? It don't get any clearer than that, does it, brothers and sisters? What Peter's saying is, if God's going to burn this earth and dissolve everything that you're looking at and you live in, and he's going to dissolve it all, what manner of person ought ye to be? And then, in case you don't understand it, in all holy conversation and godliness. That's your behavior and the way that you live. Holy conversation and godliness. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. There's where your mind ought to be. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot, blameless. We're talking about the time of judgment and judging according to the scriptures and what we ought to think of as final thoughts as we go out of the study. Well, after one's death, everybody you pass is going to die. Everybody you brush shoulders with is going to die. And when they die, their judgment is determined right then. They're either going to hell or they're going to heaven, one or the other. That's all there is. There are no other choices. The people that talk about purgatory and a mid-stage and blabbity-blab and all that are liars. There's no such thing. No such thing in the scriptures. Tell them to show it to you. It's not there. At Christ's return, on an appointed day, and after the world's destruction, that's the time of these judgments, of judgment according to the Scriptures. When you say, well, what's the Bible say about the time of judgment? When is the time of judgment? There they are. That's what the Scriptures think. What else? Well, what about the grounds of judgment and judging? What are they based on? How are people going to be judged? And according to what? What does the Scripture say as we go out of this study? Well, according to one's works. Now, that's not applied to us right now. We are not judged by our works. Jesus Christ paid for our works. And we're glad that we're not judged by works in this day of grace. But there's coming a time when we leave that judgment is going to go back to works. It's going to be faith and works. You're going to have to show God with your works that you mean business, or you're going to go to hell. It's not going to be just believing in Christ. It's going to be have to do with your behavior, too, and the way that you live when we leave. Right now, it's not that way. It's just by grace through faith, or faith, grace through faith. Now, the grounds of judgment according to one's works. Well, listen to what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 through 15. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon the foundation, you remember we talked about this. This is strictly Christians. This is strictly the bride of Christ, strictly the church. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall describe it. What's he mean by manifest? It means it's going to be weighed according to your heart. In other words, yeah, we see your work, but what about it? And then they're going to look at your heart and see what was behind that work. Every man's work shall be made manifest. It's going to show not just the outside of the work, but the inside of the work. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Oh, there's a lot of do-gooders in the world. But they do good to get something out of it. You see, big difference at this judgment, because it's going to be tried of what sort it is. There's a whole bunch of preachers that stand up on stage in big old $9,000 suit, blabbity, blabbity, blab, and do this and put on a big theatrical show, and everybody enjoys it and goes home just like, oh, the Spirit was so powerful in church today. And they're going to stand before the Lord, and the Lord's going to show that service. He's going to say, that's a bunch of the biggest bunch of hypocritical garbage I've ever seen in my life. There wasn't no heart in it at all. It was all theatrical. It was a play. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So you see, this is a judgment, our judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. You have to rightly divide the Scriptures, brothers and sisters, of what the Scriptures and the context is talking about. According to one's works. Well, that is a ground of judgment and judging. You're going to be judged according to your works. Why should you and your conversation, your behavior, and the way that you live be important right now? Because of the grounds of it. Because it's going to be weighed of what sort it is, having to do with the body of Christ. All right, well, according to one's faith, there's going to be a grounds of judgment and judging. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22 and 23, the Bible says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have we not prophesied in thy name? And here we go with this theatrical stuff again. And in thy name have cast out devils. There's a whole bunch of fellas that stand on stage today casting out devils in front of a million people. And I can name them for you, but I'm not going to. You probably know who I'm talking about. This is what the Scripture's talking about. These fellas that stand up and all these people that stand up there and prophesy in Jesus' name. And in the name, in his name cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Healed people right on stage, you lying fake. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Yeah, the Scriptures are real, and they tell the truth, and what they're describing right there is real and present today. Yeah. The grounds of it is going to be according to one's faith. You say you have faith? These people that stand up on stage, and they're going to go before the Lord and say, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? According to the Lord, he's going to say, I don't even know who you are. Who are you? Oh, wait a minute. I put 30 years on stage, and I preached in front of 3 billion people over my lifetime. And I healed, and I cast out devils. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. What else is the grounds of judgment and judging? Yeah, this don't sound like all that warm, fuzzy stuff the world talks about. When it comes to the Scriptures, man, you're getting into some truth, and you're getting into some serious business when it comes to judgment and judging. That's why you don't have people asking you every day, tell me what the Bible says about judgment and judging. Nobody wants to hear that. As a matter of fact, the world's opinion is don't judge nobody. Nobody judge. That's not what the Scripture says, is it? The grounds of judgment and judging is going to be according to one's works, according to one's faith, and according to one's conscience. The Bible says that there's going to be judgment according to one's conscience. Yes, Romans chapter 2. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. There are people that live under the law in time past and time future coming up. That's going to live under the law and be judged under the law. We are fortunate enough in this time that we live that God is a time, is the gospel of the grace of God. All we have to do is believe on what Jesus done and put our faith and trust in him, and God's done everything else. There's no law at all having to do with us and our stand before God. But it's coming, and it has been. And don't deceive yourselves, brothers and sisters. The law is coming back. And God's going to hold people responsible for breaking that law, just like he did back when it was valid before they rejected Christ. According to one's conscience, if you know better, you ought to do better. Judgment's coming according to the judgment of one's conscience. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 14 through 16, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, like thou shalt not lie, but they've never heard the Scriptures, but they know that lying is wrong, like thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not murder, thou shalt do no murder, people have never seen God's Word, have it written in their hearts, that you're not supposed to kill another human being. It's okay to kill meat to eat and the animals and what God says, but for some reason everybody knows in their conscience that you're not supposed to kill another human being. But when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. Your conscience, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. The conscience. What does the scripture say about the grounds of judgments? Somebody asks you about that, and what the Bible says, it's according to one's works. It's according to one's faith. It's according to one's conscience. And another one is according to the law. Depending on when you die and what dispensation you're living in, which we are the fortunate ones, what dispensation you're living in, you're going to answer to the law. Let me tell you something. You don't think that law is active today as it was back then? You are under grace. But everybody that's not born again today in this dispensation is under the law. And they're going to be judged by the law, by their works. And that law is going to kill them and condemn them. Don't deceive yourself, brothers and sisters. If you're not under the grace of the gospel of the grace of God and under Jesus Christ's salvation, you're under the law and you're under God's wrath. That's it. According to the law, Romans chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, it says, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. You see, we don't have to do anything because we're not under the law. We just have to behave ourselves and glorify our Lord for what He has done for us already. And that our standing before the Lord is uncondemned and righteous because of what Jesus done. We are very fortunate because the law is coming back. And if you had to live under that law and you went out and cranked your car and built a fire on Sunday morning, guess what the law says? Yeah. What else? Well, according to the perfect law of liberty, according to the perfect law of liberty, what are we talking about? We're talking about the grounds of judgment and judging. Is according to the perfect law of liberty, James chapter 1, verse 25 through 27. Now, we're talking about judgment and judging. There's a whole bunch in the Bible about this matter, isn't there? But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keep thyself unspotted from the world. Now, of course, we know this is tribulation salvation. And this is the people that are back up under the law. And James is a book that has a mixture of grace doctrine and tribulation doctrine. And but what it's talking about is the law. When you are up under the law, you have to be a doer of the law, not a hearer only. And you're going to be judged by that. The perfect law of liberty. the Bible says. So moving right along, what else? Well, there's two more. The basis of judgment and judging is according to Christ's words. What has the Lord said? And that's what we're concerned about, is what does God say? You can go out and do a survey and ask a question about what God has said, and you get 100 different answers. You're not going to get 100 different answers in the Scriptures. That's why we go to the Lord and find out what's the truth, and we believe what the Bible says, you see. John chapter 12, verse 44 through 50 says, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, not on the first advent he didn't. I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, so what is rejecting the Bible and God's words? Rejecting Christ. He that rejecteth me, how? And receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. Don't get any clearer than that. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment which I should say, and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. In other words, we hear Jesus' words. Jesus' words are the Father's words, and that his words are life everlasting. And if we obey his words and go by what the Scriptures say, we'll be right. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. According to Christ's words is the basis of judgment and judging. And lastly, here's one other. According to the things which were written in the books, according to their works, remember we talked about that, is a basis of judgment and judging according to the Scriptures. In other words, the people that stand before the Lord at the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged according, they were judged every man according to their works. Their works. So, what have we talked about today? We've talked about, I just went over some final thoughts about what the Bible says concerning judgment and judging, just to refresh ourselves. Now, judgment and judging is described as a day of wrath. It's described as a day of judgment and a day, the judgment seat of Christ. When you describe what the Scriptures say and you open the book and somebody asks you and says, tell me and describe to me what judgment and judging is from the Bible. There you go. And then somebody asks you and says, well, what's the time of judgment and judging according to the Bible after one's death? At Christ's return? On an appointed day? And after the world's destruction? Oh, what's the grounds of judgment and judging according to the Bible? What does it say? According to one's works. According to one's faith. According to one's conscience. According to the law. According to the perfect law of liberty. And according to Christ's words are the basis. Amen? Well, I think we're going to stop right there. And we're going to pick up where we've left off right here, and the next thing that we'll talk about is the results of judgment and judging. What does the Bible say if we had to describe what the results of judgment and judging are going to be when it comes to the Scriptures alone? What does it say? Amen? And we're going to stop right there. Let me give you these Scriptures for today, brothers and sisters. Are you ready? And we'll just look over some final thoughts about judgment and judging. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Oh, excuse me, 3, verse 5 through 7. 5 through 7. Okay, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 and 32. Acts chapter 17, verse 31. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 through 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 15. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23. Romans chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. Romans chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. James chapter 2, verse 10 through 13. James chapter 1, verse 25 through 27. John chapter 12, verse 44 through 50. And the last one for today is Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12 and 13. So there we go. And we got just a few more things we're going to talk about here, talking about the results of judgment and judging, and we're also going to talk about some serious concerns about judgment and judging as we just look at a few and take a few final thoughts as we exit this study. Amen? All right. Well, I sure thank you and appreciate you and love you with Christ's love, and I thank you for joining in, and isn't God's Word wonderful? We live in a real fortunate time, brothers and sisters. Let's let our thoughts be on things above, on heavenly things, and not think about things on this earth as the Lord commanded us. It's nothing but confusion and chaos and all that garbage that's not going to help our hearts or help our thinking at all. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And we love God's Word. That's why we're studying it. God bless you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next study. Bye-bye.